The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VOFM 88.1. The time has just gone by. We are a bit late today. I won't even lie. Today is one of those days. The time has just gone by 5 after 6 p.m., which means it's time for us to get into the Business Buzz for your weekly roundup of business and economics news. We're broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein. And my name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Kavaza. I'm joined in studio by someone who's very energetic. I don't know what's going on. Especially for someone who's being oppressed by exams. But
how are you feeling? Let's not go there. I'm good, thank you. How's your week been?
No, it's good.
Tell me more.
No. Just work, deadlines and the like. But I feel like your life must be very interesting at the moment. Why are you so energetic? If I did what you're doing right now during my exams back in the day, I think I would have had a better life.
Oh my goodness. I'm not really sure how to respond to that. I feel like I'm eating better. Maybe that's contributing. I'm trying to do the exercising thing.
Oh, okay.
Trying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
We'll see how far it goes.
What's your weird exam studying thing that you do that other people be like, what's this?
Well, I don't really know what other people are doing, so I can't really compare properly. But I'm nocturnal, so that comes easier for me. So I don't know if some people study better during the day, some people study better during the night. I'm a night person, so.
Okay. I can definitely testify that during my exam days, that was the time when I used to get through the most series.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's kind of ironic considering that it's such a time tower.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. I would find a sitcom.
Okay.
Right. So sitcoms are 20 minutes
long.
True. So
not like these Vikings or Game of Thrones.
Exactly. So I would use them as an incentive.
Okay.
If I read a chapter or finish the paper, you allow yourself 20 minutes, watch the thing.
I see
and
you.
Then, you know, to
I
the
see
next
you.
One.
Okay, effective. Because I mean, that's how the brain is channeled. If they know that if it knows that something good is coming at the end of it, you know, you're gonna want to get through stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, see, smart one.
I'm giving you studies.
Look at That's why you are where you are.
But anyway, today we are talking about informal trading. We're going to be talking about what it means to be running businesses that are sort of outside of the mainstream. And we're going to be talking to an informal trader and then an expert, someone who's no stranger to the show, just around what the informal trading and informal sector is looking like in South Africa at the moment. So that's how our show is going to be looking. Also coming up, we're going to be having our business wrap for your weekly roundup of business and economics news with Ken Swettenham. And then we are going to be giving you our Buffalo Index, where Klingi was going to be telling us the state of your 100 Rand. In terms of, telling us about whether or not you are participating in the informal sector, you can get in touch with us on social media. Klingi, how can people be talking to us out there?
So, analysts can get a hold of us on the following social media platforms. On Facebook, we are VOFM Voice of Vits and Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we are at VOFM and our hashtag is Business Buzz. On WhatsApp, we are 084-078-4912. They can also stream the station live at www.vofm.co.za, and our podcasts are available on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business.
So that's how you can keep in touch with us. Let us know. You can follow the conversation, and you can also input and tell us if you support some of the techniques, some of the businesses, and if you're also considering getting into business as well. On the other side of this, we get into our business wrap. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Swetman.
On the line, we're joined by our financial expert. We have Ken Swettenham, who's going to be giving us a roundup of the week's top trading business and economics news. How are you, Ken?
I'm very well this evening, and yourself?
Huh? I'm doing all right. In terms of the week out there, in terms of the markets, the economy, what are some of the highlights that people should have been paying attention to this week?
Well, the highlights, and it's not necessarily financial or business, but it has an impact on economies and finance and business. And of course, that has been the American midterm elections. And yes. What was very interesting about that, with the Democrats taking over the House of the Congress, is that we saw the dollar weakening and therefore currency strengthening against that. Just on the idea that Donald Trump is going to have a little bit of competition in getting his policies through. and we saw the rand strengthen very, very nicely yesterday, coming under 14 to the dollar for the first time in several months. Getting right down, I saw at one point touching 18.20 to the pound. Sadly, it's lost a little bit of its gloss today. The rand is currently trading at 14.01 against the dollar, 18.38 to the pound, and 16.03 to the euro. So our currency has, though, strengthened a fair amount over the last couple of weeks, although, as somebody pointed out to me today, we are still substantially down on where the currency was trading at the beginning of the year.
Ken, I think one of the things our listeners might be aware of is the fact that the U.S. and China have been in a bit of a tiff. So with the outcome of the elections being what it is, do we expect that war is going to continue? Because China is South Africa's biggest trading partner, so that would end up in some way having some effects on us.
Well, that tiff, as you call it, between the Chinese and the Americans, and very, very briefly, because you could do a whole show on this, but very briefly, it came about because China not only trades with South Africa, as you correctly pointed out, but they trade with just about every country in the world, and almost every little trinket you can pick up in the shops, if you look at it closely, will have made in China on it. So they're exporting goods at a huge rate and at a huge amount, and this, of course, one of the reasons the Chinese economy has been growing in at 7-8% a year for the last several years. So Donald Trump decided that he wanted to put the import tariffs on Chinese goods to try and encourage the Americans to buy American goods. In a nutshell, the Chinese obviously weren't happy about that because America is also a big consumer of their goods. It looks like it's all settled down a little bit. There's going to be some trade deal signed, I understand, but it was certainly not at the end of that. But if they can get that sorted out, we should then see currencies and markets settling down a little bit. But that's a story that's still got to run, of course. Yeah.
So do we expect that the rand is going to stick at this play around at this 14 level, or should we expect it to sort of go back to that 14.20, 14.30 level and settle down there in the coming weeks?
It's a difficult one to call with the currency, as you know. The future of the currency has always been the most difficult one to predict. So from a personal point of view, I think it will settle down for the simple reason that we are slowly moving towards the end of the year. There's no real major economic news now expected over the next 4 or 5 weeks until companies start closing down, and certainly nothing much happens over December. So I personally anticipate we should see it reasonably stable now for the next 2 months until January, when people come back after the festive season. There's nothing in the future, in the immediate future, which should knock the rand off kilter one way or the other. Although, you know, this is a funny world. I could be proven very wrong, and all Donald Trump needs to do is open his mouth, and that could send our currency spiraling. So it's a difficult one to call, but if all things remain equal, I think we'll stay reasonably stable on the rand from now until the festive period.
So, yes, that was us. We're on the line with Ken Swettenham, our financial expert, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. The big story, as you heard, is the fact that the U.S. just held its midterm election, and the Republicans have maintained control of the Senate, and then the Democrats have just regained control of the House of Representatives, meaning that Donald Trump and the Republicans' powers have been mitigated just a little bit. The rand falling just underneath the 14 level for the first time in 3 months. And we, as you heard, Ken expects that we're going to settle around these levels, because not much is said to happen for the year to come. So that's it in terms of the business wrap. On the other side of this, we tell you the state of your 100 rand. This is
Business Wrap with Ken Swettenham. The Business Buzz.
Time for us to tell you what the state of your 100 Rand is looking like today, sometime in November. And we have our exam candidate who's about to tell us.
Oh, my goodness. Can you just let that drop already? You know, I come here as an escape. From.
Listen, I know you're going to do well.
Oh, really? And how do you know this?
You've made it this far in life.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that faith.
And you're smart. So I don't know. What are you worried about?
The state of your 100 grand.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we are focusing on the informal economy, as you've mentioned. So Trade Intelligence estimates that the informal market in South Africa is valued at 164 billion rand.
What?
Which is 1.640 million buffaloes. That's a whole lot of buffaloes, hey? 164 billion, which represents between 30 and 40% of the total food spend in the country. It's estimated that the sector consists of 155,000 informal traders that range from general dealers to supermarkets, superettes, service and house shops, spaza shops, and finally top hawkers. 39% of the owners own smartphones and are able to place their orders online, and they don't have time to shop physically, which is important. But some of them, it's like they have to get their stock physically. And the spaza shop specifically, which was a point of interest, are valued at just around 7 billion rands just alone.
Mm.
So if you're looking for something that doesn't have a lot of barriers to entry, and you don't have a whole lot of startup capital, I think, you know, setting up your own, either your own tabletop stall in town or starting a spaza shop could be something that one could consider. And I was just looking around Bramfontein area, and there's a 9,000 rands a rental space that's available at the moment on Jutta Street for 9,000 rands. Yeah. So if anybody out there is wanting to it depends on what you're selling.
Okay.
So it really depends on the demand for the product that you're going to supply. For example, a hair salon, I think they make that kind of money probably in 2 days, or even maybe sometimes a day, depending on how much foot traffic there is.
Yeah.
So, and then there's different things. If you're looking to be like a tabletop hawker in town, then you can get a table from Trestle Table, and they have from starting from 450, 840, and to 1,250. And you have a chair there that's also available for 250. So those are just sort of like the basic entry level things to sort of set you into that informal economy.
Okay, cool. So would you do a spaza shop yourself, or would you buy a spaza shop and have someone else run it for you?
I'm going to have tabletop option one running soon in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, selling butterballs rolls. You know, we've got to practice what we preach. You can't just be here talking about these things. You know, when we talk to people about, you know, growth, we have to have gone out there and experienced it for ourselves, so that by the time we want to develop their businesses, we know what we're talking about.
The Business Buzz.
Yes. So that's going to be like another side hustle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually quite impressed. But we are going to be talking to an informal trader on the other side of this, just to hear what their business is about and how they are choosing to go about it. And then on the other side of that, we're going to be talking to an expert around what the informal trading sector looks like. So keep it locked. On the other side of this, we get into our main topic.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. Today we are talking informal trading on tonight's show. We just came from giving you our business wrap together with our Buffalo Index and we told you what the state of your 100 Rand is looking like. So in terms of today's show, remember that you can keep the conversation going online. You can let us know on Facebook. We are the VAW FM, that's Voice of Wits, and you can also find our other Facebook page, that's the Wits Radio Academy, and then on Twitter we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. But it's time for us to actually, you know, get things going, and we have some special guests in the studio with us today.
So yes, we do have some very special guests with us today. We have Marilyn Mabunda, who is the secretary of the SA Informal Traders Forum, and she's joined by Amen. I'm pronouncing it right. I'm in Sitholi. So we're delighted to have you guys here on the show today. I think our first question is just going to be just if you can just tell us a bit more about what the South African Informal Traders Forum is and what it does. Yes, any of you can start.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the listeners all over there. Informal trading in broad. Actually.
So there's the forum. Just a bit about the forum
South
and what the forum
South
does.
Yeah, it's South African formal trading. It's like it's an organization.
Mm-hmm.
This organization it deals with informal trading. All informal trading, as long as you're in a street or a walker,
okay.
Anything that then it deals with these people, because most of the time we really concentrate on people who don't exactly have that right to sell, who can just stand there at the corner,
yeah.
Start to sell something like that.
Awesome.
So we give them that opportunity so that we gather all the information about these people and then we try to help them everywhere.
Okay, so if I'm looking to set up a table in Johannesburg CBD, who do I need to speak to? Where do I go? How do I start?
It's not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have different platforms. But let me tell you according to my understanding, actually. Then Marlene will tell you according to her understanding,
okay,
actually.
Great.
So what is happening now? If you want a table around CBD,
mm-hmm.
Remember we have JMPD, we have JPC. As JPC, they control all the market.
So that's the Johannesburg Metropolitan Police.
Yes, mm-hmm. And we have JPC, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But that time, you remember, MTC,
mm-hmm.
Metropolitan Trading Company.
Okay.
So what is happening? You don't just get a space, actually. No, you go to the Metropolis or you go to JPC, then you ask them actually. Like there's a space there, then they will come and paint with a yellow paint and
okay.
if because they have to check if it's a demarcation place or. It's a dangerous place, something like that.
Okay.
It's not easy. So okay. Marilyn will tell you everything.
Yes. Marilyn, my question to you, how did you decide to go into the trading space?
Thank you very much. First of all, we do have waiting list.
Okay.
We use the waiting list. When you come first, we write you on the waiting list. You're supposed to wait until you get the space.
Okay.
First of all, we must go to your place and verify the place if it's okay. After that, we will demarcate it for you. It's not us who are going to demarcate. It's JMPD together with DED, Department of Economic Development.
Mm.
They're going to demarcate with the yellow paint or where there is property. Mm. They will accommodate you. And then give you the space.
Awesome.
They must give you the space where there is water, electricity, shelter, and everything, because you're going to pay rent.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, and in terms of your business, tell us a bit more about your business. What do you do? What do you sell? And where do people find you?
Bara Market.
Okay.
Which is near the Baragwanath Hospital. I'm selling fruit, vegetables, sweets, and cold drinks.
Okay.
But when you come to Barra, we must write you what stuff are you going to sell, because there is competition inside the market. So if you are they will give you the numbers. The shops are differentiated between the numbers. There is number one, number two, until number whatever.
Mm.
So if number one is selling fruit and veg, you mustn't sell fruit and veg. You must sell cold drinks and sweets. If number as much as I'm saying, you must, number three is going to sell maybe battery accessories and everything.
Mm.
So when you came to Barra, we do have an office where we are going to write you in our waiting list. From now on, our waiting list has got 492.
Wow, that's a long list.
Yes, for the traders who are waiting to get the space and sell inside the market.
So for people who are on the waiting list or people who are still unemployed, what advice would you give them in terms of something of the sort? So they're not able to go to Baragwana right now. What advice do you have for those people? What can they do in the meanwhile?
They can come, but they will wait for the waiting list and they will make different business to others. So that they can live.
And are there other places that are like the Baragwana set up in other places in the city that they can go to?
They can go, but we as South African Informal Traders Forum, we got 32 markets around Johannesburg, and then we do have streets. So if you came to Bara, I will arrange maybe with Midrand Market to check if there is a space. And then they will give you the space.
So do you mind sharing the information around the forum so that anyone who's listening maybe can touch base with you guys?
We don't mind.
Okay, if you can just kindly share the information now with us.
Like
a contact person?
Our contact person, the main person is Brian Palo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how do they get a hold of Brian?
You can call Brian on...
Okay, so maybe we'll share those numbers at the end of the show. We'll get those from you, and then we'll share them with the listeners later.
Problem.
So that people can contact you guys directly. And what has been like the main challenge or one of the main difficulties in you going about in your business?
We do have challenge because we are renting at the city of Johannesburg, but they are not doing well for us. Because for now on, let me say, at 2000, I was selling outside the market before they built the structure. They told us that if I get inside the structure, there will be no one selling outside the market. But for now, there are people who are selling illegally, and they are not paying rent while they are putting their stuff inside our market where I'm paying rent. It's the main challenge because each and every month they're looking for rent.
Yeah, so it's not easy, you know. Because if you can check the number in the market compared to the number outside the market, which means the number outside the market is more than the number that is inside the market. So it's not easy. So when it goes to competition, obviously the market that is outside, they have a high volume and they can make money out there. They don't pay rent.
Yeah.
They don't pay anyone.
Yeah.
It's free for them. So while you're inside the market, you need to pay rent. You need to make sure that you have customers, something like that. So it's a big challenge. It's not easy.
And who do you guys raise these kind of issues with? Is it the police, the Metropolitan Police?
JPC.
And have you guys reported this to them?
Obvious.
And
they know
respond?
The issue. Oh. You know, it looks like they've been failing. They don't have the clear solution. Have you ever come across a situation where you don't have a solution, but you can see it has been happening. It has been there. So I think we as informal traders, you know, we are very strong enough because we are living there and we are doing business almost every day there. But it's not easy for us, you understand? That's the biggest challenge. Again, another challenge, yes, if you don't have money, how can you run a business? It's not easy. So if you can check most of the funding scheme, or maybe let's talk about banks. They can't fund someone who's in the market. It's not easy. They don't trust these people.
Yeah.
You understand? So you need to wake up and make a plan. Obviously, you'll go to the loan shark. You borrow money there. You use that money. What about the interest? Then going back to the whole thing, it doesn't make sense. You'll suffer forever. Because if you can go to the bank, they'll tell you about, you need to register. Yes, we have registered business. But obviously, if you are busy selling each and every minute, you cannot take that money to the account. You need change. You need stock. So
I think my last question to you guys is, I mean, and I think both of you could answer just very briefly, is if any key players are listening to the show right now, people who have influence and people who can bring about the kind of change that you guys want to bring, what would you like to say to them? So whether it be the Metro Police, Metropolitan Police, who are influential, whether it be the bankers or whoever is a key player in your specific sector, what would you guys want to, what change would you guys want to see, or what would you want to say to them?
Let me say, informal trading are here to stay. We can't go anywhere. Whether they like it or not, we are going to sell. Can I say JPC must improve the standard, because from now on we do have old mamas who were selling maybe from 1974. Even now today they are still selling spinach, fat cooks and everything on the street, and they're not getting they are not getting anything. Maybe they can say GED was funding last year. They say GED was funding. They do have 9,000 rand which is going to fund the traders. But when the old mama go to GED, they said she must register her business. How can she register her business while it's waking up at 3 o'clock early in the morning and go and sell fake goods? It's our main challenge also.
Oh, so noted. Mm. Parting shots, I mean?
Yeah, you know, JPC, they are not, like, they don't care about informal trading, actually. We know that. It's not all about this, and maybe we need to ask them or something. They don't care. What they want to take care of the market, especially the maintenance and the advertising. So we're not advertising, we're selling. So they need to change their marketing strategy and how they should manage people and stuff. Because, look, if you find someone who's selling spinach for 15 years, then that business is not improving. And still, our municipality is not doing anything about it. You understand? So we end up selling spinach, all of us. 50 people are selling spinach. Mm. And that's not improvement. We need something like maybe, you know, come up with new ideas, because obviously we need funding. So DAD, we don't know where is the money going here. Maybe they are doing something about the money, because we didn't get the money.
Oh, that's disheartening. Now, hopefully the key players in the market are listening and someone is going to do something with regards to all the issues that you guys have raised. But thank you so much for joining us. That was Marilyn and Amen of SA Informal Traders Forum.
You're tuned in to the Business Bus.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. Today we are talking about informal trading in South Africa, and we just came from giving you what it looks like to be an informal trader, but we right now want to just go into the broader South African context and look at what informal trading is looking like on a national scale in the townships and the cities. What is it looking like across the board? And on the line we are joined by someone who is no stranger to the Business Buzz. We are joined by Gigi Alcock, who is an author of the famous book Casinomics, just around informal economies, especially in the townships, and he's also the head of Mininawe Marketing. Interestingly enough, about a week ago, he released a follow-up to Casinomics. It's called Casinomics Revolution, and we are going to be touching on it a little bit as we go through our discussion. How are you, Gigi?
Very good, thanks. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. So as we begin our discussion, could you just let our listeners know what the business case is at the moment for informal trading? There might be some people out there saying to themselves, is informal trading really that much of a thing, or should we all be trying to register our businesses and getting sort of more into the mainstream?
Yeah, so I think that's a big mistake people make, is that they generally look at informal traders as kind of subsistence or survival businesses where, you know, they have no alternative and they go into this business. And you couldn't be more wrong. I mean, I give you an example. In downtown Joburg, there's a informal trader and her husband who sell 2,500 amagwinya or fetkook every single day and at a rand each, plus they sell some other odds and ends. They make about 1,200 rand a day, so, and they're there 7 days a week. They're putting 25,000 to 30,000 rand a month into their pockets. You know, there's another informal trader that I profiled in Gastronomic Revolution who's at a school, and who's a school mama selling to the school kids. She's been selling at the same place in the same school for 26 years, and she puts 6,000 rand a month profit into her pockets. She put two children through university, her husband's unemployed. And what's the alternative? The alternative could be she could be a domestic servant earning like 2,500 rand a month and working for 8-9 hours a day, riding a taxi to work. Yeah, she works for 3 hours a day and makes good business. And I profiled a whole number of these informal businesses, from people selling I'm a veg all the way through to, you know, to Gassi course people selling I'm a platey, making, you know, 40,000, 50,000 rand a month. So, you know, it's not something to be ignored. I think the fact that they're informal doesn't mean that they're not big, profitable micro-businesses.
So that begs the question around what the sentiment is around informal trading, because it makes sense that people might either look down on it or might not aspire to actually get into it. So from your research and putting together this latest book, what have you found amongst informal traders to be the sentiment or the mood to actually get into business on an informal level?
So I think that the biggest, you know, this is one of the tragedies, is that we look at these micro businesses, which is how I prefer to call them, and we don't really see them as jobs. You know, the lady I was talking about who sells, who makes 30,000 rand a month, I said to her, will your son come and work here, because her son's finished school? She says, this is not a job. And so I said, well, what is he doing? She says, no, he's got a job as a trainee at Edgar's. And I said, and how much does he put in his pocket? She said, no, 2.5. So he earns 2,500 rand a month, but he could be. She said, no, she wants to set up another stand down the street for another Amagwinya outlet, and she wanted to put him in there, but he didn't want the job. So he would rather accept a job earning 2,500 as a clerk at Edgar's than making 30,000 rand a month in this business, because he doesn't recognize it as a business. We've built this entire society where we believe a job is 8 to 5, you have a pay slip. We haven't created an entrepreneur culture. And the other thing is that these businesses are incredibly restricted, because they can't get finance. They struggle to get they can't get finance because no one recognizes them. You know, I met a lady in Soweto who runs a very successful food outlet, and she wanted to buy an Italian coffee machine for 40,000 rand. She said, you know, in Soweto now we're very civilized, we want coffee and stuff. So she went to Absa and asked if she could borrow 40,000 rand, because she's got cash flow limitations, to buy this coffee machine. And they told her two things. The first, they said black people don't drink coffee. And the second thing they said to her is that we can't fund a business in Soweto because we don't have a track record of your business accounts, and we don't believe that your business case, that this can be successful. And so they turned down this opportunity of her growing her business. And so now she says, now she's putting money into the stock fell, and she's hoping to get 40,000 in a few months' time. And then she's going to buy this coffee machine. And she says, you know, buzz or bona, you know. So, and this is the tragedy, is that these businesses could potentially grow. They could employ more people. They could formalize, you know, the hawker could not build a little shop and so on. It doesn't happen because our financial institutions don't recognize this. And you know, banks have become this place where they lend money to people who don't need it. You know, and we should be seeing how we could fund these small micro businesses or entrepreneurs to grow these businesses and stimulate our economy through this informal sector.
That's actually quite a sad, you know, state of affairs that you're actually reporting on, Gigi. But I then wanted to ask, because you brought in the issue of going to the bank and the like, and keeping record, the bank saying that they don't have track records of what her trading must have been like. What type of business models do you find informal traders are using, and are they keeping records, or do they just in their head do mental arithmetic and sort of know how much they mean to be having every day, that type of thing? Because I think that might help, you know, in the case of applying for a loan, if at least you can show the fact that, listen, I'm moving X number of, let's say, Amagwinya every day, and I'm making this much every month, etc. So how are they doing it on that level?
So, you know, you have to be careful. I mean, there are businesses that are hugely successful. I mean, there's a, if you want to call it, I don't know if you class it as the informal sector, there's a lady in Pretoria who's got a range of shops called Spatlo Palace. and you know Spartos Agota in the north. And she runs a very successful business, and she has books, and you know her staff are paid you know PAYE and all of that kind of stuff, and UIF and whatever.
Oh wow.
And so you have some of those more informal businesses, which are larger businesses, and they do keep books, and they're generally quite formal. They, because they, you know, still seen as in a sector which is seen as a high-risk sector that's unknown, misunderstood, they're not supported. But yes, the problem is with many of the smaller businesses, the restraint on them is that, you know, the lady in Tembisa who spoke about the school, I said to her, how do you know how much you make? She says, no, I just look at the table and then I say, oh, this is how much I need to restock. So I said, how accurate are you? She looked at me like I was stupid. She said, I've been doing this for 26 years. You think I don't know how this works? Which is fair, you know. I mean, she's an expert. She's run the same business for 26 years profitably. Yeah. But she will never get support until she actually gets a set of books and she starts recording how much she sells, buys, how much profit she makes. But in a sense, this is what is required in this sector: is how do we help those businesses formalize their business activities so that that does allow them to. You know, to find opportunities for funding or support of that kind.
Yeah. So as we end off, because we are sort of a bit short on time, what type of advice would you give to perhaps, because some of our listeners might be wanting to just start some little business on campus, for example, just here at WITS, and they're just wondering how to go about it. That's the first thing. And then secondly, could you just let our listeners know a little around your activities as Mina Nawa? I remember last year you telling us you were introducing sort of the formal sector to the informal sector and how that's going on.
Okay, yeah, so on the one hand, I think that from a Minanao perspective, we're a marketing business that does that, you know, is driving, you know, trying to build, you know, trying to drive marketers and corporates to look at the Gassi economies and how they can engage with that. From the Gassinomic side, you know, one of the reasons I wrote Gassinomic Revolution after Gassinomics was actually a big focus on it was about how to encourage entrepreneurs to look at these sectors and the opportunities represented within the Gassi or the informal or the inner city economies. To look at that with a different eye. You know, I often say, you know, people must look in the mirror, not look out the window. You know, don't look out at other businesses. Look at the opportunities around us, you know, whether they may be, you know, culturally based in things like food and things one of the big businesses I see in the Gassi environment is back rooms. You know, if you think of how many back rooms there are and what you can charge for rental for a back room, imagine if you started an Airbnb for back rooms so that, you know, you could find rental and run it very much like Airbnb. You know, so I think that there's many opportunities that exist within the, you know, within our own environments, which are based on understanding lifestyle and understanding needs within these environments, where we can create our own unique, South African businesses.
That was us. We're on the line with Gigi Alcock. His latest book is called Gassinomics Revolution. Just an introspection into what informal sectors are looking like in South Africa at the moment. His first book is called Gassinomics, and it looks at the township economy and the amount of money and business that's flowing through there. Thank you so much to him. He's also the head of Minanawa Marketing, introducing the formal to the informal sector. On the other side of this, we continue with our show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
And with that, we've come to the end of tonight's Business Buzz show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening to our show. Thingyiwe, your takeaways for today, I think it was an interesting one.
Yeah, I think the takeaway was, you know, I actually tried to call a number of people from the city of Johannesburg to the Johannesburg Metro Police Station, amongst other people, to understand who the actual, you know, sort of authority body is when it comes to, like, informal traders and getting permits and getting all those things. And I promise you, I couldn't get a clear answer from anyone. I thought that was quite odd, considering the fact that you want to make this like an easy sector for people to get into. And if it's so difficult for someone to get, you know, access to such information, that information ought to be like a lot more easily available. So I just think that that's one thing that ought to be, you know, corrected. Because the next thing you know, people set up shop and then they get their goods confiscated and other things confiscated because they don't have the necessary permits. Mm. So if we can just make that easier, whoever is responsible for that, because I think... everyone alluded to the fact that it was the Johannesburg Metro Police. So if that can just, you know, be made a bit easier and more accessible to people, I'd be absolutely elated.
Mm. If anyone from the city of Johannesburg is listening to our show right now, please get in touch with Lingi Wesondo. She wants to know how it's done because she wants to go on the streets and actually do the things.
Mingle
and
with
make
the people.
Money.
Be one with the people.
No, but you're right. I think... what you're talking about, I think, is just a general problem with doing business or any type of economic activity in South Africa. I think, I don't know about other countries, but this country in particular, I think, you know, information comes at a premium, whether you're registering a company mm-hmm. or whether you just want to go out on the street and sell, you know, hot dogs or something. Like, it seems even like information around how to file a tax return now that you're now that you're an informal trader. Like, do you pay tax as an informal trader? Do you not? You know, all of
because you want to be a law-abiding citizen. Yeah. But then, you know, by not having this information readily available, they're making it difficult. You know, so and even like what you're saying as an example, like when you're registering your company, you know, that's how people end up getting like robbed, and they get charged 1,000 something rands to register a company for something that costs 175 rand.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. I think my takeaway comes from some of the stories that Gigi Alcock was talking about. And the biggest one came from he was citing a lady, and he was saying that there's a lady who is selling a mugwinya in town. And I think he said she's making between 20 and 30,000 rand a month.
I'm going into the right space, sir.
No. Listen, people are making some serious money out there. Because he was telling us stories around how there's one or two people that are making... because we interviewed Gigi last year, actually, mm-hmm. and he talked to us about the township economy.
Yeah.
And he gave us stories about guys in Alex that are selling 2,000 quarter a day at 20 rand, making 40 to 50,000 rand a day.
You can't just make that kind of money in corporate.
Exactly. You know, stuff like that. But the interesting thing is, when he told this story today, you know, in the interview that just came, he was talking about how a lady, she's selling amagwinya, she's getting 20 to 30,000 rand a month, but her son doesn't want to do the same thing that she does and would rather go and be a trainee at Edgar's for 2,500 rand a month.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, because, you know, people worry about these things, etc.
I'd rather be like that Gogo fam. No, my bank balance is looking good.
But anyway, that's it in terms of tonight's show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening in. You can continue talking to us on social media. On Facebook, we are Vow FM, that's Voice of Wits. And you can also find us on Twitter as well. That's at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. And then our WhatsApp line, that's 0840784912. And you can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on vids.journalism.co.za/business.
With that, we have reached the end of our show tonight. Thank you to our amazing team, executive producer Elna Schutz, our producer Welcome Lashiva, and our technical producer Kutrano Sirame. Don't miss the Business Buzz. Same time next week for more insight into the business world. Now on the Vow FM lineup is Life Beats from myself, Hlengiwe Londiwazondo, and Modiwa Mob Justice Gavaza, and the rest of the team. Take care.
The Business Buzz. Listen to the Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on Vow FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.